At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
Johnny Giles is a national treasure. When he speaks, I mean, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When he's on the show, I was in the car the other day. I parked the car and I sprinted into the house and turned on the radio. I love listening to him. I love Johnny Giles.
John Giles, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow. Don't miss a second of the action. Subscribe now to the OTB AM podcast to get it every weekday morning in your podcast feed from 10 a.m.
Andy Mitten of United with Stan joins us on the line. Good morning to Andy.
Good morning.
Plenty to get to you about, but one of them we wanted to kick off with was Lionel Messi back in the headlines today, or the last couple of days. The former agent of Antoine Griezmann has had a few things to say about him and his reign of terror, as he's put it, at Barcelona. And Messi himself has responded to say that he's tired of always being the problem for everything at the club. What's going on here?
A lot has gone on, especially this year. And traditionally, Lionel Messi has said nothing publicly. But this year, he's become more emboldened and he started talking about how he feels. And it's usually negatively, using his favourite communication tool of Instagram. And there's been 4, 5, 6 different instances where he's come out and been very critical of the club. And it identified, showed a broken relationship with Jose Maria Bartomeu, the president of Barcelona, who was likely to leave at the start of next year, but actually stepped down a few months ago. He was very angry at the way Luis Suarez, his best friend, and his wife and Suarez's wife are really close. They have a shot together in Barcelona. And he was angry at the way Suarez was treated, in so much as he's Barcelona's third all-time goal scorer. And he received a 60-second phone call from Ronald Koeman to say, you're no longer required, you're not in my plans. That was it, bang. And he left, and that angered Messi. They're close neighbours, they're really close friends. And then Barca have had to make major economic cutbacks. So they let players like Suarez, even Rakitic, Rafinha, Arturo Vidal, I think the combined total for all four of them was 10 million euros, but it was more about getting them off the books because they had pressing financial issues even before COVID kicked in. And Barca were quite boastful about being the first club to reach $1 million in revenue. And I'd spoke to certain people at Man United, for example, and they just raised their eyebrows. And I'm on about the top people. And I know that there were doubts about how Barca's money situation was. So Messi was also playing in a team which was declining, and he's a winner. And I've just written this piece. I've written 5,000 words in this for the cover of the new 442 magazine about this. And Messi was really upset after the 8-2 defeat to Bayern Munich. Of course you would be. And that's when he decided to leave Barcelona. And he thought he was exercising a clause in his contract to leave for free. He got it wrong. He left it too late. The club were actually right and wouldn't let him leave. But when he decided to stay, I was really struck by the reaction from some fans, but from people in the club, that he'd stayed. And one person said to me at quite a high level, and they were all talking to me off the record, it's really sensitive. I'm gutted he stayed. I love him as a player. I love what he's done for this club, but I love my family more, and there's going to be more cutbacks. So Bartomeu told a chairman of a club a couple of years ago. My entire job is getting enough money to pay Lionel Messi. And he's been the boy who's cried wolf several times, and that usually results in him getting a massive, massive new contract, and then it quietens down for a couple of years. He continues to be probably the best player in the world. And he's still, I would say, the best player in the Liga. He's the best passer in the world still. His game has changed. But this year, lots of things have come to the head. He felt that the club were pressuring the players to take a wage cut when the players were absolutely happy to do that and have done it twice. But they felt it should come from them. It was their money. It was their contracts. They shouldn't be pressured into doing it. And then Messi had issues. A lot of the players did with Setién, who replaced Ernesto Valverde. Valverde was very popular with Barcelona's players, and they didn't like it when he was sacked. And I thought it was ridiculous that they sacked him. I don't care what people on social media said. It was ridiculous. He was top of the league. He'd won the league twice. And yes, they got hammered by Liverpool and by Roma, and they were appalling results. But I still think he was a great manager and he was a good person. And Setién didn't work out. And Ronald Koeman came in, and he's been charged with basically bringing young players through. It was an ageing team. You had lads like Messi, Piqué, Rakitic, Vidal, Jordi Alba, way north of 30 years old. And you were seeing a decline, and you've continued to see it. Look at the league table now. Look at Barca, the way they were overhauled by Real Madrid. They failed to win the 9th title in 12 years. That's how dominant they've been. So it's been a really troubled year at camp now. The stadium reconfiguration still not started. It was supposed to start 3 years ago. No president really wants to do that on his watch, because it'll mean a massive stripping back and lack of investment in players. The Neymar money was spent really badly, and none of the players wanted Neymar to go. They all wanted him to come back. They weren't impressed when Antoine Griezmann did a video saying that he wouldn't be joining Barcelona. And then a year later, he came. The players wanted Neymar to come back. And you know, Griezmann hasn't fitted into the dressing room as well as other players. So you've got all these reasons building up, and it bubbles along, and it becomes headline all the time.
It seems like it's slightly ludicrous. I'll talk to you about Pep in a second, and maybe these stories are intertwined somewhere along the track. And it does seem like a slightly ludicrous thing to say when you look at it for pure footballing reasons. But at the same time, maybe the best thing for all parties is that he leaves. Is that what you now expect to happen soon, or is this going to? Is he going to still play out the rest of his days at Barcelona?
Yeah, I would expect that to happen, but I also expected that to happen in August. And then I know his family is very settled here. The kids go to a school where they're taught in English. He's been here all the time. He lives in like an Argentinian bubble. So he still speaks with a very strong Argentinian accent. He doesn't speak Catalan. And his father is less of an influence. His father's been back to Argentina, especially since the tax charges of a few years ago. So Messi's become more confident, become more interesting. That doesn't really come across in interviews. I always made the parallel with Wayne Rooney. When I interviewed Rooney at 18, it was terrible. But now he's a really interesting man, and his thoughts are well worth listening to. Messi hasn't really developed in the same way. But then I think that's a very deliberate thing. He lets his football do the talking. That's his strongest attribute. In the same way that the model Kate Moss doesn't speak because her strongest attribute is her looks, Messi just lets the football do the talking, and it has done the talking. He's been incredible. But I remember him asking me about Manchester City in 2010. It was at the end of an interview, and he asked me where the money was coming from, how much they were paying. And I'm thinking, well, why don't you just ask Carlos Tevez, your international teammate? So he does like money, and a lot of people around him do. And maybe he's entitled to that because he's so good. He's a game changer. He's won all these trophies. Incredibly, he won over 100 individual awards. I think a little bit of him likes the idea of playing in a different league. The relationship with Guardiola is good. Wasn't always good. I was sat there 5 meters from Guardiola on the day he stepped down, and somebody who knew Guardiola very well just said, "Don't look at him for your story. Look at them," and pointed to several of the leading players. Messi, interestingly, was the only one who was absent that day. So there's been tension, but that's pretty normal between players and managers. You know, I've heard Man United players privately say Ferguson was this and that, but they respect him for being brilliant. And it just keeps coming to a head. Messi started training well this season. He does like the younger players around him because they do the running for him. I think footballistically, he's pretty comfortable. He's a winner. Someone who knows him very well just said to me, he just wants to win. He wants to win trophies. And this is probably the weakest Barca team, or a team which needs a major rebuild for a while. Europe has not been, Barca have been well short in Europe the last couple of years. You've got all these reasons sort of building into the same part. And I speak to Barca socios and some of them are just convinced they've mapped out his career for him. Manchester City, then he'll go to New York, who are part of the Manchester City group. And you can see the logic in that, but I don't have any hard evidence of that. Of course, there's loads of Catalans at Manchester City in executive positions. And you've got Iristein, you've got Guardiola. So you can see how it all adds up there. And he's still a brilliant player. Barca need money. Yeah. And they'll probably get money now for Messi rather than in 2 years when he's 35.
Is it a guarantee that he succeeds at Manchester City and succeeds in the company of Pep Guardiola once again?
I don't think you can guarantee anything in sport, but I still think he's the best player in the world. And that's a subjective view, but I watch him a lot. And maybe I won't be saying that in a year's time. You've seen Cristiano Ronaldo diminish slightly. His passing is incredible. He's an absolute joy to watch, you know. I've never hid my allegiances. I totally do not want him to go and play for Manchester City. But you can see why, because he's a game changer. And I think Premier League fans would love to see Lionel Messi there. Realistically, it's the only league where there's the money for him to go to. He could go to PSG, but they're hamstrung by financial fair play restrictions. It surprised me when I did all my research how good the relationship was with Neymar, how much they wanted Neymar back. How many Barca fans pining for that forward line of 5 years ago when they won the treble of Suarez, Neymar and Messi. Griezmann has underwhelmed. He's a great player. Dembele, another 100 million plus player. He's been too inconsistent. Philippe Coutinho was fantastic at Liverpool. He's underwhelmed and was allowed to go on loan to Bayern Munich. So that Neymar money was spent pretty badly.
Is there a guarantee, or not a guarantee, but like I guess from a Manchester United perspective, a fear that Pep Guardiola is going to end up peaking twice in his Manchester City career? Because this is the question that's been raised in the aftermath of yesterday, a brand new contract. There have been legitimate questions asked this season of Pep Guardiola as a manager and if he's losing it a little bit. So what are your fear levels at from a Manchester United perspective of that actually turning out to be true?
I don't really have any. United have got enough problems on their own plate to with before worrying about Manchester City. And United's record against City is actually very good. Beat them three times this year. It's a freak. I've always respected Guardiola. I thought he was a wonderful player, brilliant footballer, and then manager. And I watched him come right through from the third division with Barca's B team. And as a thinker and as a person, and I would have loved to see him become Manchester United manager. I really would have done over the years. A year ago, I would have probably said that he would leave Manchester City. And that's just from speaking to people I know in Catalonia. And that would be people who say things to me like, oh, I went for lunch with his wife last week. I'm like, oh, do you know I'm a journalist? You know, but just being entrusted with information and not really needing to write it. And he has signed his contract. And I know he's pretty happy in Manchester. He's got control at City. He's got a really good working relationship with Begiristein, with Soriano, another Catalan. They've got power there. They don't have the financial pressures that they have at Barcelona, nor the politics or political intrigue. They've not got a president because of the way the club's structured at City. They've not got these continuing shifting power plates that you have at Barca. It's an extremely political club. And I used to think that Barca's model of fan ownership was brilliant. This was the solution. We don't want the Glazers or Hicks and Gillette. Let fans own the club. And then I see Barca and it's a disaster. It's a disaster. But their fans might say, yeah, it might be a disaster. You might think we're all crazy, but we still win the title all the time. So there's two sides to it. I don't think Pep's finished in the same way that I don't think Jose Mourinho's finished. And Would I be surprised if he built another great City side? Not really. I can see that they're having major wobbles at the moment, but so are most other clubs. including United. You know, Liverpool have not been as imperious as they were last year. Look at the top of La Liga table, Real Sociedad and Villarreal. It's not Barcelona and Madrid. So you've seen it in major leagues. Messi would be a major asset. I think that Barca would be asking for your 100 millions. And I'm not convinced that there's value there because I don't know how long he's going to play for. Don't know whether he's going to be... If you're going to get a Ryan Giggs and he's going to play for, until he's 40, then great. But I couldn't answer that.
Just on Pep, and obviously in the context of tomorrow as well, with the two-year deal, and it sounds like, from what you're saying, I mean, maybe the easiest thing for him was to walk away, and maybe he did flirt with that. But alas, he's at City for another 2 years, and they meet Jose, obviously, tomorrow. Once friends, bitter rivals, great history, maybe the keenest, most bitter and most interesting rivalry in football at the minute. It's still a hatred, I'm assuming.
I'd only have to make an assumption as well. I think there's a respect, if I'm honest. That rivalry in 2011, wow. I was going to those games, those cup finals in Valencia between Barca and Real Madrid, and it was so tense. It became too tense. It became... violence was in the air, and it was absolutely fascinating, but it was horrible as well because you could see them both snapping, and on one level, Jose was just winding Pep up so much, but you know, shouldn't have been poking people in the eye. It got really, really nasty, and Barca was still a better team. Madrid, they won the cup in the 11 in that game in Valencia. But Barca was still the better team. They absolutely demolished Manchester United in the Champions League final that year. But there's a short managerial fuse at Barca. It's so intense. And Pep lasted 4 years. And he had to walk away from it. That's a huge amount of time for a Barca manager. Because it is so engaging. And the media is so intense. There's press conferences all the time. And... it's a major rivalry. I'm sure when they're both 70, they'll meet up and have a lovely meal and have a chat and respect each other deeply in the way that Ferguson and Arsene Wenger probably do. But they're the top, they were the top of the trade, and now they're working in England, and I'm sure they'd absolutely love to beat each other at the weekend. And I don't blame them. That's what drives them. That's what's made them the greats that they've become.
Yeah, it'll be all eyes on the touchline, I think, as much as anything else tomorrow when the two of them go head-to-head. Fascinating rivalry. It feels like Pep sort of just doesn't feel that Jose is a football man almost at the core of it at times. He's sort of maybe let that veneer slip in some of his press conferences over the years, but which is from the outside looking in itself a fairly fascinating viewpoint.
It is. I think it's unfair. He wasn't a football player. He's never worn the shorts, as Sergio Ramos always said. But come on, I mean, Jose came into Pep's Barcelona team when he was a player among great, great players, Luis Enrique, Rivaldo, managed by Louis van Gaal. And he came in as a translator, but very quickly, this was under Bobby Robson. You'd see Bobby Robson struggling with his Spanish and saying, okay, we're going to... Real Sociedad tomorrow, and we intend it to be a tough game and to attack them, and we hope for a win. And the translation would come back through Jose Mourinho. It was like, we've seen their counter-pressing and the way they use their channels, and it was so much more detailed than what the manager had just said, that within weeks, Mourinho was taken off that position. I've spoken to Barca players from that team, and they never saw him becoming a top, top manager, but he was utterly driven. And he became a top, top manager. And I know... a couple of players who pretty well, people like Benny McCarthy, who played under him, and they just say he's the best manager he's ever played for by a long, long way. His man management skills, there's a side to him you don't see in the media. He has got tactical acumen. He's a serial winner. He got the job at Old Trafford because he was the closest thing you can get to being a guarantor of success. The only man United thought could go head-to-head with Guardiola. He wasn't a wonderful midfielder like Guardiola, but Arsene Wenger wasn't a great player. Some of the greatest managers ever have not been great footballers. You know, Ferguson was a top player, but he wasn't a world-class player. And Jose doesn't need to prove anything to anyone. he has been one of the best three managers in the last decade and beyond, and so was Guardiola.
Mm-hmm. Long may they continue to have a pop at each other, obviously. Just before we let you away, Andy, some conversations that Duncan Castle is writing this week about a story that an unnamed United player at one point had a whiff that he expected Solskjaer to have been sacked a number of weeks back, and at the time that this unnamed player thought that that was a good idea. And obviously they rumble on and they have a few injury worries ahead of West Brom at the weekend, but it seems like a constant talking point that just won't go away in terms of Solskjaer's future at the club.
Club have got no intention whatsoever of sacking Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and there's a media, and I'm part of that media, and I have editors calling me and say, can you write us a piece from Istanbul after last night's defeat? And I see the headline and it's, is this Ole's last game tomorrow? And that's just the way that headlines work. Journalists don't write them. And look, if he loses tomorrow, the pressure kicks back in again. It's Manchester United, they can't be where they are in the league. The home form's terrible. But there's still a feeling that he's making progress. There's been setbacks, some of them pretty bad. There's been great moments, some of them incredible. And there'll be more setbacks, but I speak to people at that club every single day. And if I felt a sacking was imminent, I would be writing that and I would be talking about it. And I just don't. And look, if United would lose the next six games, then the position becomes untenable. But there'll always be some players who are unhappy, players who aren't getting picked. But I don't hear any major dissent against Ole like I did against Jose. And situation can change. Of course it can. Moods change totally. The mood among United fans swings wildly. It lurches with these results because the team is so inconsistent. And that's got to be sorted out. But then they're going to lose more matches. Don't think the team are going to come close to winning the league this year. But as long as there seems to be a general improvement, I think they did really well to get to third last year. A cup win would do him a lot of good. But people will judge more harshly because Ole will have been in the job 2 years next year. And he spent a lot of money. And he still thinks that he needs to bring more players in. Fine, but don't look at the league table if you're him and you're 15th or whatever and expect people to have sympathy with you. I'd expect that to change, if I'm honest, because the pre-season preparation was poor. The United had other factors, and other clubs did as well. But I'd expect it to start changing. But that home form has been a major black mark. United haven't won any of the last six home matches in the league at Old Trafford. That's terrible. Probably would be different with fans there, but no club's got fans there. And that West Brom game, I sort of thought a few weeks ago, United will go and beat Everton because Ole needs a result and he gets results when he needs them. And I first said that on this show a year ago. And you won't be surprised if they lose 1-0 at home to West Brom. But if that happened, it would really kick off.
Yeah, we'll keep a keen eye on it. Andy, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Don't miss a second of the action. Subscribe now to the OTB AM podcast to get it every weekday morning in your podcast feed from 10 a.m.
OTB AM
with Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's move.